5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Oh, I came back too early.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Now, what are we doing?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, we're back.
Yes.
2 weeks off, and by popular demand, we're back.
No, we're told to come.
We're actually contractually obliged. And also by popular demand, people are saying, come on, boys, get back on the air and entertain us. So that's what we're going to do. Purple's in, as he always is on a Monday. We need to talk footy, and there's a bit going on around the world of football, of course.
Plenty, Jim.
And a bit going on around Melbourne, too.
Melbourne. Well, you're locked down, Jim. Unlike
fair dinkum.
A joint 75k down the road.
I've nearly had enough, Fat. My patience has been tested.
Yes.
And my sense of humour's waned. Fat?
I've got sense of humour, Jim.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
So that's all you give a stuff about, the fact that you can do what you want down there.
That's right.
We're buggered here.
Exactly.
Can't move anywhere.
If the shoe was out on the other foot,
I'd be laughing hard.
You'd be in my shoes.
Well, Bill. You're in Geelong, even though you're not in lockdown,
yes.
You are.
Oh, good one, Jim. I tell you what, great to have you, and thank you for that. And g'day to you, Rabs.
A lot of changes there. Tom Lynch being one of those.
Oh, no.
He won't play this week. I'll go as far as...
No, don't do it.
I will.
Go on.
If he plays,
yep.
And if he kicks a goal, I will do the show naked with you next week.
Bill.
That's points bet.
I wouldn't be doing that.
I think there's T's and C's.
I know there are.
That's got to be, Jim.
I know there are.
Because Fat's not looking too good at the minute.
No.
In ISO. And
bad.
Haven't done a lot of exercise.
Not looking good, bad.
The big bear's just been in the cave and got fat and hairy.
Bill, the bear's parked in your belly button.
No.
Your belly button looks like the opening to a cave. Seriously.
Oh, and I need a bit of a shave.
Yes, you do.
Hey, Jim.
Yes?
Damo in the house. But so we won't talk footy. We've got other stuff to talk about. But before we go around the world, I'm going to tell you, Monday the 13th today, of course.
Yes.
Things that, sporting events that were cancelled in July.
What is this?
This is a bit of a wrap.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Here it is, Jim, the All Sports Report, and these are the events that were cancelled in July.
Yes.
You know what has been cancelled?
No.
Wimbledon.
Yes.
That'd be the men's singles final. It'll be on this morning, Jim.
All right.
British Open.
Well, it's normally canceled. On nighttime men's singles final.
Well, over there.
Yeah.
British Open, you know that. Tour de France, cancelled.
Yes. Yes.
The Olympic Games would have commenced 24 July, so in 9 days.
Right.
But they've been cancelled. So a lot of things
postponed.
Have been...
Next year, they'll be.
Well, cancelled to next year. But one event, one big event did go ahead,
yes.
Jim. The annual hot dog eating contest. Have a listen.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Put down your hot dogs.
Some things change. Some remain the same.
75 hot dogs and buns. A world record. 75.
75 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
No, it's not possible.
You can't swallow.
No. And also park them anywhere.
Yeah, well, imagine tomorrow.
Bill, the next, the old throne. No thanks, Bill.
Oh, wowee. 75 hot dogs and buns.
That's not good for you.
Joey Chestnut? Joey Chestnut.
Oh, Joey Chestnut. Thank you. Well done. Mm-hmm. That's a world record holder, Jim. Yes. You've been watching the cricket. Been a good game, the first
Very
test.
Very nice game. West Indies not the worst.
Exactly. They won by 4 wickets overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Oh, Stewie Broad got the brazen bits.
Well, he's angry, frustrated and gutted. Not happy, Jim.
Not happy.
He got dropped.
Carrying the drinks.
He got dropped.
He cracked it.
He did.
Sucked in.
So well done to the West Indies.
Yes, well done.
But we love the commentary and we all like Mike Atherton, don't we?
A lot.
We do. Very good. But he got he was on the wrong end of a Twitter prank, okay? Someone tweeted through.
Tweeted,
yeah. Well, even tweeted this through, and he went with it live on air, which just have a listen to it.
Hugh Jardine, 6 for 9 at Cockermouth. That's Ben Stokes' old club, isn't it? Cockermouth Cricket Club.
He just read it.
He did.
He didn't obviously have a look into it,
Jim.
But it was huge Jargon.
Yes.
Who took 6 for 9 at Cockermouth.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Yeah.
And he just went with it, Jim. So he just got
pranked.
You know, he just got pranked, which we like on Sucked In Mikey. Yeah. Melbourne Storm had a good win over the weekend. They're going nicely, Jim.
Nicely.
But guess what? It was Melbourne skipper Cameron Smith.
Oh, Smithy.
Smithy. It was his 300th victory.
Oh, come
on. Do you know how many games he's played?
870.
No, he hasn't. 420.
That's amazing.
400.
No.
Oh.
Bill, you're not looking into a mirror. You're not talking to yourself.
I thought you. 420 games he's played, and he's won 300 games at 71%.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Very good.
That's Selwood-esque.
Indeed. Well, probably better than Joel, I reckon.
Oh, don't know.
And former Socceroos captain, Mile Jedinak.
Melee.
Or Mile, whatever.
No, it's Melee.
Has retired at the age of 35. He's been a very good player for the Socceroos, hasn't he?
And he was captain. Yeah.
He was. He got still got the beard.
Mm-hmm.
Good on him. Well done. Very good career. Well done to you. Luke McDonald got in a bit of trouble. I don't think Damo is going to go with this, Jim.
No.
And when he had a bit of a go at Connor McKenna and put his hands up to his face like he's going to get the COVID-19 virus. But he has rang to say, I'm sorry about that.
Well
so
done.
Good on him.
No, he's a good boy, Lukey, and well-raised, of course. Donald and Terry, wonderful
people.
So he probably knew he did the wrong thing and he addressed it. I like that.
And that's it now.
Right,
we move
before
on.
We go.
I've got one more bit.
Oh,
Isaac Rankin. Yes. We might talk about him, but I loved him on the weekend. Just have a listen to this package here, Jim.
Salem leaves it behind. Rankin one way, then the other.
No!
Oh, first kick in AFL is a beauty. Isaac Rankin tries to push his way through, barge his way through. No way! We're off the ground in the middle of the pack, and he's got two. Suns hunting here. Rankin with his third. He roved it off the pack. He's kicked 3 on debut.
Wow. A rising star, Jim.
Yes.
Don't worry about that.
Beautiful.
And just one more bit of footy. Rory Sloane out for 4 weeks.
Oh, I saw
broken
that.
Hand. Mm. Tom Lynch played on the weekend with a broken hand. And Rory's
we know.
Is 4.
He said he wouldn't. He said he wouldn't.
Kicked a goal.
Yeah,
kicked a goal. So they're the two things he
kicked 4 goals.
Well, as we go to the break, because Damo's not far away, it's heads bobbing for me as to who's in worse form.
Or who?
Either Dan
or Dan.
Telstra.
Oh, what's happened now with Telstra?
Anything wrong with your NBN?
No.
Good luck getting it fixed.
Why?
Oh, my God. You can't even ring anyone from Telstra anymore.
Well, they
you used to be
there.
Able to pick up a phone and ring them and say, oh, it's not working.
No
and
one's in the office.
No. So now, Bill, they get you put on hold.
Yes.
Then you answer all the questions online.
Oh, yeah.
And then they come back and they say, have you got it plugged in? Have you got a green light coming out of your router?
Very good question.
Oh, my God, Bill. I'm telling you right now.
And was it plugged in?
We're in. Yeah, every single time it's plugged in, funnily enough. But anyway, they keep asking you the same question.
Turn it off, turn it on.
Anyway, let's get Purple in here because we need to discuss the AFL.
He's got a mask on.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Coates Hire on 13 15 52.
Nice to have him in too, Purple.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Hey. I've worn for the first time today a mask.
Oh,
and Jim, it's fair to say they're not conducive for people with 4 eyes.
No, you look very bad. There's no, I can't break it down any other way. You look very bad.
Has our Premier worn a mask yet?
Good question, Bill. I don't know. Well, you have to now at the AFL if we're going to go into the building.
Yep.
And
you've got to wear one at the AFL.
If you go into the building, yeah. Yeah, you do.
Trump's even wearing
I saw that today. Yeah. And the cool air in the Docklands precinct this morning, Jim, with the, you know, warm breath. Just fogged up for
glasses
when I went and get a coffee. Well, so not the greatest things.
Our Premier should wear a mask.
Why, Jim?
It should be a mask of someone who's got some remote idea of what he's doing.
What did you say about him on the weekend, Jim? Just put the keys on the fridge.
Leave the key on the fridge and clean the desk out and just wander off. That's what he's got to do.
I can't see how you can blame him for everything. But anyway, what do you got, Damo?
Well, I didn't mind a lot of the games that we saw in round 6, but
Carlton.
There are a couple of... Carlton was really good, wasn't it?
100 points they kicked.
I'm trying to get a spot on the bandwagon there, Bill. It might be too late.
No. They're not letting you on.
They're okay with me at the moment.
Are they?
Yeah, other clubs aren't that happy, but they're okay. That was the good way to finish the round, but...
Yeah.
it has become an issue, and we don't sugarcoat things on Triple M here, do we, Jim?
No.
There's been some stinkers too.
Well, but I think there always are. They're highlighted a bit at the moment, I think, because of the shorter quarters, which means we don't see as much scoring.
Yeah.
So the Sydney-Richmond game, what do they kick? Two goals between them in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we've seen this forever too. Dimmer blames Horse for parking the bus.
Yeah.
Horse says, well, it wasn't us, and you were just as bad at it as well.
Yeah.
This has been going on for 30 years.
It has. It has. And look, they're usually more respectful of each other, aren't they, after the match to keep it in-house. But last night, Damien Hardwick, the two-time Richmond Premiership coach, Bill, put it all the blame.
It was a horrendous game of football. There's no doubt about that. It was hard to watch. It was hard to play. It was just incredibly frustrating, and I didn't think we were much chance of scoring, but they were no chance of scoring. I think they got two goals from 50 metre penalties, but outside of that they kicked one goal for the game. Well, there's not much I can do. I'm sitting there, we're attacking, and we've got 75,000 people in our forward 50, so it's pretty hard. You know, once again, we're to figure out how to negate. It's probably happened a couple of times this year, and you know, it's become a tactic in the AFL. Fallback mentality is really, you know, keeping sides in games at the moment, and it's creating probably the game that we got tonight.
So that was his take on it. And as you say, Jim, the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah. But they've got no goal kicker, Sydney. No Buddy.
All Ruckman.
No Tom, and all Ruckman. Yeah. No Tom McCartan. Yeah. No Sam Reed. So at the leading goal kicker, who do you reckon's winning the Coleman right now?
Well, I know who is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Papley.
Yeah.
After six rounds with 13 goals.
Mm.
But they have done this for a long time, Sydney. They've always had a mentality that they will allow the ball into their defensive 50 and then rebound from there. So they've always had a lot of people parked at the back half of the ground. But also, Purple, I would argue, because of the shorter quarters and therefore the players are less fatigued, they're able to work defensively a lot harder for the whole of the game, and therefore we're seeing less scoring.
No, we are.
And which was always going to happen. As soon as you shorten the quarters, you get less scoring.
It is. And I think to your point about the shorter quarters, it's almost exacerbated this mindset of the coach to start off negatively because of the less time. And the Swans, as woeful as they were, it got to 10 minutes remaining in that match and they were 8 points behind at one stage. And they could have stolen it from nowhere.
Blakey kicks that goal with about 3 minutes to go. They're two points down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what it's not doing is causing anyone to switch off. The ratings numbers are extraordinary.
Yeah, we've got nothing else to do.
Extraordinary. Like between 10 and 15% up year on year, which is unbelievable.
That's a big number. A
huge number.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that's got to do with the fact that we're, for some godforsaken reason, back in lockdown. So people have got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But still, it's 10 to 15% year on year is huge.
It is. And is that across the entire six rounds?
Well, certainly that's from Seven's point of view.
Yeah.
The free-to-air games that Seven put to air, they are 10 to 15% up this time last year.
I think I'm watching more games from first kick to last kick than ever before, and I'm assuming that's reflective in other people's viewing habits too.
But as usual, there was three or four good games, there was three or four bad games, and which happens.
Yep.
Go back
anyway.
Back in our day.
And the other one too, who's got a few issues when it comes to the state of the game, and he's public about it, is Alistair Clarkson, Bill. If you just look at the start of that game that they played on the Friday night, wasn't it, against Collingwood? They had possession of the ball for the first 2 minutes of the match. It was all inside their own defensive 50, and they just went from different points of that defensive 50 for 2 minutes. I mean,
like basketball.
That's a mindset thing. I don't care what anyone says. So that Alistair Clarkson, when he bemoans the state of the game, which he did do 3 weeks ago and which he has done a few times since, and he's entitled to do that, don't get me wrong, but also realise your own role in that presentation of the game. And I think that's probably been lost a little bit in the way he's wanting this message to be conveyed to the public.
The AFL coming down very hard on the bump, and fair enough.
Yeah, they are. And there were a spate of them, weren't there? One's going to the tribunal in Ben Long's situation. And just on that, I don't know how a sports body can't have a mechanism to deal with it without the need to go to a tribunal. If you say that the box ticking exercise gets you to a point you don't like, I still don't understand why you can't just say that's worth three or four.
Yep,
it's a waste of time, resource, and the moment you get retired judges and QCs, Bill, and other legal people involved, it's just lost. So let's just deal with it as an industry.
So why would he send it there? Is it too hard?
Because the box ticking didn't quite marry up with what they felt the message needed to be. And that's a convoluted way of saying it's going to the tribunal. The Dylan Shiel one on Curtis Taylor, Jim, it's an interesting one because Curtis Taylor came back on.
Yep.
But there has been some talk, even as we talk, how much damage was sustained to the face as a result. But I had no issue with him getting 2 weeks initially. We'll see how it goes beyond that. And Ebert from Port Adelaide on Perryman of the Giants. Different scenario to the long and shill matters, but ultimately head high contact, which again will see him miss football. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? We get three serious and significant hits in the last weekend of footy. And just touching on a couple of injuries too, Bill. The Swans' Josh Kennedy,
a lot of injuries too,
went down on the weekend. Knee. As did Isaac Kearney, and the Kennedy situation is 6 weeks on the sidelines for him, and Heaney's going to require surgery after scans
on his ankle.
Has discovered a dislocation and rupture of the medial ligament in his ankle, so he's going to miss the whole season. Heaney
out.
Yeah,
that's so two big outs.
What'd they kick? 3 goals on the weekend. 3-8, and they're losing Kennedy and Heaney.
Kennedy for 6 and Heaney for the season. Oh, well, and he's their best player, Jim, I feel, isn't he? I mean, I know you've got a massive rap on him and have since he first played.
Brilliant.
But I felt he was tracking well for a 6-year player.
Oh, yeah.
I
think he's
Gold Coast now.
No
get
doubt.
On him now.
All right. time for Purple to get positive now. I like it when he's positive and he's positive next.
For Coats Hire, Damien Barrett is in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Positives from round 7.
Well, come on then.
There's only one word.
Well, two words. Isaac Rankin.
Oh, I was going to say Isaac, but Rankin. How good. For once I sat there and you get out of your seat nearly and you go, just kick it down to him because he was flying for high marks, crumbing, and probably kicked two of the best first goals ever.
Had to wait 18 months for his first game of footy because he was a high draft pick in the 2018 draft and just didn't get a look at it at all last year. And then even in the shutdown period was still under a few ailments. But, gee, you can see in the space of 20 minutes of footy why the excitement levels were what they were when he went into that particular draft, Jim. And, look, they lost that game against Melbourne. We'll touch on Melbourne in a moment under the positives, but the debut of that guy, as unfortunate and disruptive as it was to lose the other great junior in Matty Rell the previous week, well, they've just got, it's not a like-for-like replacement, but in terms of a young player and an illustration of the future of that club, in the space of 1 week, they've got it.
Brilliant. No. And of course, add to that Anderson and Lukosius and King, and they are going to have a very nice, I don't want to use the word cluster, Bill, but cluster of unbelievably talented young players.
And he's got a bit of Parkeroon about him, Jim.
Which we like.
Rankin. He's got a bit of,
You were taken by it, Bill, weren't you?
I was.
We talked even on and off yesterday on the Sunday Footy Show, and you were very, very enamoured with what he did.
I like Matty Rowell, but he's just a good, strong, tough midfielder. But this bloke could do everything. Every time he went near the ball, something was going to happen. I loved it.
I thought, look, there's a lot of clubs that came out of round 6 with some great positivity, none more so than Carlton.
Very good.
Literally, and for the first time in Paddy Cripps's recent history, anyway, in the 8, the big 4 in the 8 at the moment, Jim. You always talk about the big 4 in Melbourne. They're in the 8. But what they did against the Bulldogs, they capitalised on some really good work by kicking goals, and while you say that may be an obvious thing to do, a lot of clubs don't, do they? They can spray them in front of goals, but they got away early, maintained it, ran away, and did it with a portion of style. And you can see why Jack Martin was so sought after by every single team in Melbourne when it was obvious that he was leaving the Suns, and the Blues got him for basically nothing.
Eddie Betts, what about his turnover?
Yeah, another 4 goals. Gibbons is a far better player than I thought we realised last year.
And Levi Casbolt now just goes back from 50 and goes bang. Like, unbelievable.
And Harry McKay, again, he's not best on ground, but he did enough, didn't he? You can just see. And I thought McGovern at the times too, again, not best on ground, but just showing enough to know that they're going to fit into this this Blues system. And I really like what they're doing.
We'll see Port Adelaide on the weekend at the Gabba, that will be one that we'll all watch on a Sunday.
We might as well switch into them because they lost to the Lions the previous week, the Power, and then bounced back big time yesterday, didn't they, with the big win over GWS.
I like Kenny
in the team song.
That was good in the middle. He's 300th life membership of the AFL. Well done to him.
Yep.
But in there in the middle, didn't know if they were going to spray him with Powerade. They did in the end.
Sometimes you can be fake about that emotion, can't you, Bill? But you look at that vision and those players, Jim, and the way he was engaging with him in that moment, there was nothing at all fake about that. I loved it. Essendon, I keep saying, I don't think anyone even at Essendon thought after 5 games, and they've played one less, as we know, to everyone else, would be 4-1 and the one win coming by just 1 point in a match they should have won against Carlton. So, look, well done. And they did it on the weekend.
Ground away.
It's only a narrow margin, wasn't it? 15 points in the end, but they were never going to lose that game against North. Did it without Stringer and Heppel, Bill, and obviously Danaher, but you don't know when he returns. But But without Stringer, who's been really good to what they've been.
No, they're going well. I tell you who else are going well.
Who's that?
Fremantle.
Fremantle going well.
Now, we didn't talk enough about this, Bill, because we had to get off air quick on the weekend. Yeah. Justin Longmuir takes an enormous amount of credit out of that game. They were on the ropes and heading to the canvas.
7-1 first quarter.
He found a way in the 10 minutes at the start of the second term to A, stop their ball movement, and then B, put some belief into his group that they could score using the ball themselves.
Yeah.
And then the next hour of footy they put together was a great credit to him and them. I thought they were brilliant.
Just slowly went about it, didn't they? Slowly, and then won. So well done, you're right.
And to do that in the last week of their requirements in the hub there too, having got their first win of the season and his first as a coach the previous week against Adelaide the previous week. So to go from 0-4 to 2-4 and now to go back to Perth with a couple of wins behind them. And as you say, to come back from 37 down against the Saints was a great thing.
Beaten
the team 17th and 18th on the ladder in the past 2 weeks, but they go back to Perth with a 3-3 scoreline. I think that's the key to what that's about. Melbourne, Jim.
Tell us a bit. Tell me a bit about it.
They did what they had to do. It's similar to what Carlton had to do against the Bulldogs yesterday. They got the win they needed up on the Gold Coast against the Gold Coast. And we were critical the previous week, weren't we, about their ball use particularly. Mm. And those players who we did identify last week, particularly Oliver, turned it round. Viney was great, as often is the case. And Wiedemann just provided them a structure.
Well, I reckon it was one at selection. And I don't know why he wouldn't have had Wiedemann in that side earlier. Yeah. And also Harley Bennell
was great.
And the other Neville Jetta. I don't know why they don't play. It's funny, isn't it, when you look at other sides, and you're not in the tent, I know, but those three just made them a better side.
I did. A couple of other quick references. We go back to the start of the round on Thursday, Geelong, Bill. Mm. Oh, that was as impressive as they've been for a long time.
At the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, when Lachie Neale kicked that goal, Cats were 20 points down. Mm. They looked like they were going to get beaten by 100 points.
Yeah.
So again, to turn that around.
Danger.
Outstanding.
He's going to win another Brownlow, isn't he?
Well, he's on his way. I think Lachie Neale will be leading, but he's on his way. But Menengola is another one that we probably don't talk. I don't reckon we've ever mentioned his name, but he's been great for him.
He has been.
And Sammy Simpson, Sugar, Narra's boy. He had 27 touches. He was outstanding, little Narra.
And the Pies, just to sign off on the positives. Really good job against Hawthorn. And you're big, Jim, aren't you, on the, what do you call it, the risky ball when you take off the 45.
Risk and reward, bite off the kick on the 45.
They took it on the whole game, and Darcy Moore led the way out of the back line, but their precise use of the ball and prepared to go through the corridor with those risky kicks, but kicks that open up the field and literally blew open Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. And they'd had a tumultuous period, as we know and as we had talked about regularly. But
what about this Thursday night? In front of 30,000, do you reckon? Geelong, Collingwood over at Optus Stadium.
I'd love them to be able to get that full capacity, which is 30,000 on that occasion. I couldn't see why not.
You get as many in as you can get in, wouldn't you?
Well, the 50%.
Which is 50% of the capacity. So
footy starved.
I mean, you've lived there, Jim.
Bloody oath, I'd be going.
30,000,
no doubt I'd be going. And speaking of teams biting off the 45, there's one that categorically refused to. their eyes can't even see that part of the ground. I'm going to get to that next.
Guess who he's talking about, Dave?
I'm getting to that next.
His team.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour. Back after 2 week
all
break.
Right. Yes, nice break. And we've had all the positives and the issues. Yeah. So now it's time to get down and dirty and negative.
Will you start us, Jim?
Get off the Michael Holding run up, Jim. He's going to push off the MCG side screen. Mm. He's going to bowl to
Kevlar Chappell.
Go for it. North Melbourne, what's wrong?
My issue with the Kangaroos Saturday night was twofold. Firstly, I'm not sure they had a very good time in match committee at all. Anyone who knows what happens on the Gold Coast, Bill, Metricon Stadium, under lights, knows that it's basically a wet weather game. The ball gets so slippery that no one can handle it.
It's almost worse than a wet weather game, isn't it?
So why you would choose to go into that game with 300-centimetre people, Campbell? I have no idea. So you got Goldie, who, by the way, I think is the All-Australian ruckman at the moment. I don't give a stuff what anyone says.
Oh, Grundy might be arguing that, you.
No, he's flying, Goldie. So he was unbelievable. And then Benny Brown hasn't seen it all year, but you hang on to him for obvious reasons. But you don't go in with a third one.
No.
So as soon as the ball went into North Melbourne's forward line, it just trampolined out of there the whole night. So
Tommy Campbell.
I don't quite understand that.
No.
But secondly, you just get the ball, you look up, you go long down the line hoping for a stoppage is not going to win you very many games of footy. Mm. And you talk about Collingwood, and I love the way that they bite off that kick on the 45 and take the risk of maybe it being turned over and scored against, but that's what sets up opportunities to score yourself. At the moment, the Kangaroos players aren't even seeing that part of the ground. Mm. Their eyes aren't even diverting into the corridor ever. So what that means is they're very easy to play against, very easy to defend against. And when you don't protect the corridor yourself, we saw what happened Saturday night where Saad and McKenna and, you know, all these players just start overlap running through the middle. And in the end, I thought 15 points wasn't probably quite reflective of the night. So for me, Reece, who, you know, I'm a big fan of, but I reckon they've got to now start saying to Simpkin and Thomas and a few
and
of these.
And he's been all right, Simpkin, by the way.
No, he's been really good. Higgins, yeah. All of them. Look, if you see it on the 45, bite it off. If we go get scored against, don't worry about it. We've got to get more dare into what we're doing.
Yeah, well, that loss to Essendon was the fourth in a row, following, working backwards, losses to the Bulldogs, Hawthorn and Sydney, and that came after a two-zip start to the year, Bill. So the Magic's gone.
Got Richmond this week. Richmond will be very tough.
And they haven't played six of the favoured seven on bookmakers' charts. Those matches are still to come for North Melbourne. So the Reece Shaw honeymoon period's over. The bigger picture of the club, the list to which you've half referred to there, Jim, I think it's questionable. There's a lot of recycled players. Yeah. Eight of them are in that team on the weekend.
At least
and there's
they
another
didn't play
four.
Cunnington.
Yeah, well, he wasn't to play.
No, I know, but
you know, he's a massive out. Yeah. If a fit Ben Cunnington makes a huge difference, and Zeeble and all, you know,
and Jed Anderson
and all
too was a late out. But is that, that's only three out.
I'm more talking about the style. I think if you just go long down the line as you one wood, two wood, three wood, four wood, then you're going to get found out pretty quickly.
Yep.
Who else? Who else? Yeah, while we're getting negativity?
I think St Kilda needs to be in this conversation too because of the lack of ability when they get to five and six goals up. Round one, they were five goals plus up against North Melbourne. On the weekend just gone, as we touched on a few moments ago, they were six goals plus up against the Dockers. They've lost those two games. And in a season which is already abridged to 17 games, Bill, those sorts of performances are going to come back to cost them in a way that is going to be adverse to whatever happens, be that fall into the eight or just miss it. It's a poor performance.
What I'd think. I reckon they've got a young, developing list, haven't they? And they've all got to learn from this.
Yes.
So I reckon they're on the right track. And unfortunately, these losses don't help, but they're on the right track.
Yeah.
Don't you think, with the Saints? Look at them, they're seventh, they're 3-3.
But they can't lose to Fremantle
when
they're six goals up.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's going to be costly.
But their intensity, Bill, dropped away horribly after quarter time.
But
that's a non-negotiable. That's something that you don't need talent for.
No,
they just stopped pressuring, they stopped tackling, they stopped chasing. It all just fell away.
Yeah.
So at least Brett Ratton will know that and be able to work on it for this week.
That's right.
And Hawthorn, too, just in that negative outcome. Come for that club out of round six, and it's been a couple of weeks now where that's been the case for the Hawks. I think they're in no man's land, and he's such a good coach. He could still conjure enough wins to get around about eighth spot, but I don't know what that's going to mean in the big picture for that particular
And just a
club.
Mini negative with the Hawks. I'm not sure I liked seeing the big general speak to the club doctor like that.
You were big on that, weren't you?
No, I didn't like. Yeah. I don't like seeing that, Purple. Yeah. You must always show the respect. People who are the staff at your club great respect.
Yeah.
And I don't think he showed him any respect, and that just worries me.
No, it does. And the people who haven't caught up with that, he damaged a hamstring early in that game, and obviously the frustrations attached to injury and that player were boiling over to the point where he was quite abusive and demonstrably so.
But
to
I would
the,
be surprised. They've got great leaders at that club, Al Clarkson being, of course, the main one. So I'd be surprised if someone didn't pull him aside and say, listen, mate, not good what happened to you, and we all understand the frustrations you're feeling, but that doesn't enable you to speak to a staff member like that.
Yep.
I would hope that it would.
Hey, Jim, you barely get Bill for to be focused for an hour each afternoon. Two hours on a Sunday morning on live TV are dangerous.
So where's the bus going?
Well, we're going to send it. We're going to follow this man back down the highway to Geelong because...
Well, at least it's open.
Through the bloody police gates.
Yeah, got to go through, a little river.
He only just hangs on, Jim. Right. And this was late in another juggernaut show of the Sunday Footy Show yesterday as TJ was coming out of an ad break.
Favourite show? Yabba dabba doo. Welcome back to the Sunday Footy Show. Bill, what are you doing over there?
I just got a muffin. It's very nice. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you want to put that down and we'll continue doing this live television show? Okay?
White chocolate muffin. Jeez, that was
TJ
nice.
Speaking to you like a school teacher.
Yeah, he does.
To a kid in the front row who's not listening.
Yeah, exactly right. I've had enough of him too, old chompers.
What was the reference to Yabba Dabba Doo?
It was something about Abba Dooby Dabby or whatever it's. Oh, no. And the favourite show was Yabba Dabba Doo. I couldn't think of the joke properly. It didn't work, but I thought we're off here. Lucky it was only Yabba Dabba Doo day, mate. And we're all going away. We decided on Sunday because we made some good money on our little punting trip.
We're going on a boys' trip, Jim.
We're going on a boys' trip. To the Gold Coast. Imagine that.
What, in 2024?
No, with Chompers.
Oh, no.
Lordo, Nath Brown, and Damo and me.
And Kay's not coming.
Hey?
Kay's not coming.
He's not allowed
He's
to come.
Not allowed in.
He's not allowed. Because all he'll do is run, go for runs every day. I imagine. But
Lordo
I
likes a boys' trip.
Hey, Lordo likes it. We got breezes. But I don't think Chompers wants to come, does he?
No, he doesn't want any part of you anyway, Fat.
A bit of money.
What about anywhere else for the bus before we let you go?
Jim, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt you more. Oh, no. Arden Street. It's going to Arden Street.
Well, they're in the bloody Gold Coast, so you need to send it up there.
Well, we just need to sort Arden Street out first, Jim, when they get back. and we'll send the other one. Oh. We'll send the other one to Dingley and Waverley for when Hawthorn gets back there as well, because they're in an awkward position right now.
Nice weather. Nice weather in Dingley.
Always nice in Dingley. Good to see you, Purple. Thanks for that.
See you, boys.
Damo's recovery session. When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 50 52.
Sam Groth tomorrow. Can't wait for that. Been a nice show back too. Everyone's very happy. Social media feedback extraordinary.
Sam Groth plays golf every day with silly Daisy Thomas.
Oh, not allowed to play a golf every day at the minute. My club only twice a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah. Right now, Fat. Let's get something humorous to get us underway now that we're back.
Jim.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's
show. You know when I go home tonight, Jim?
The app built for Aussie trainees. Head to crewtracker.com for your free trial.
I've got to go through the police checkpoint at Little River every night.
Yes.
And you've got to get checked over. So they do a good job, the police.
They
and
do
the
a
army.
Great job.
Well,
Bill
knows.
Just spoke over the top of it. But
crew tracker are back.
Yes. They're back.
Yes.
Nice. Oh, they're happy. See, they're happy with what they get, Jim.
All right. Now, come on, Bill. Something funny.
Under deliver and over. Propose. Yes. Here we go. Yeah, Jim, a bit rude this, but it's first up, so I don't mind it. So all just block your ears, kids in the car.
Come on.
A man goes to a $10 lady of the night, Jim.
Yes.
And unfortunately catches crabs.
Oh, no.
So he goes back to complain, Jim. She said, what do you expect for $10? Crayfish.
No! Come on, Fat. That's what you
get. Yes, Jim.
Come on.
That's first up. We're back.
Jill's lost.
We're back. We're back.
That's not appropriate. That's not appropriate.
Yes, it's appropriate. Oh, we're back, Jim. Might be back tomorrow, but we're back.
Come on.
Well done, Fat. You're back.
Nothing there from Thailand.
Anyway. Me and Gav.
Oh, no.
Oh.